Well, here we are. We are at our final Sunday of letting go. Are you ready to let go of letting go? But we've focused a lot on how hard it is sometimes to let go. To let go of things we might rather not let go of people we might not rather let go of. And yet, this morning, we're going to focus on the liberation. Can I get an amen? The liberation of letting go. Amen. In fact, later on, we are going to sing, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, sometimes letting go feels so good because we've been carrying so much, carrying actually quite honestly too much, things that aren't ours to carry, things we had no business picking up in the first place. And so this morning, we're going to look at what it means to liberate and to let go, to release and move on. So this morning, if there are other young people who would like to come forward, I would invite you forward for our time for all ages. I'm going to tell a variation on a story that Peter Scales, who I see is with us this morning, reminded me of the last time that I visited Capital Congregation, which is a Buddhist tale about a spiritual teacher. And I just love to mess with the genders in these stories. So the spiritual teacher is going to be a woman this time. The way Peter told it was a man. And I'm kind of biased toward women as spiritual teachers, so I'm going to take that little liberty. And so there's a Buddhist priest, and she's a woman, and she's walking with this student of hers, someone who's learning to be a priest. And they're on this long journey through the beautiful countryside where they live. And they come across a young man who's sitting by the side of the river, and he says, you know, would you two spiritual people, you two Buddhist leaders, would you carry me across the river? And the student's kind of thinking, he looks like he could walk across the river by himself. I mean, it looks like his legs are able-bodied, and he could probably make it. It might be cold. It might be a little, you know, it'll be a little wet, but he could do it. But the teacher, right away, no hesitation, says, sure, I can carry you across the river. And so the teacher scoops this young man up on the ground and wades in this big, high water. The water's coming up above the knee, probably middle of the leg, middle of the thigh, and the teacher walks all the way across the river, holding this young man, and then puts him down on the other side of the water, returns to the side of the river, and continues on the journey with her student. And as they're walking along, the student says, why did you do that? Why did you carry that young man across the river? You know you're going to throw your back out. I know you've been having lumbar problems lately. That's just not good for you. The teacher doesn't answer because it was supposed to be a silent walk. And then later, as they continue on, they're a mile further down the road, and this student once again says, teacher, why did you carry him across the water? He didn't even seem grateful. He didn't even say thank you. He didn't appreciate your effort. You're all wet. You're like wet and muddy the rest of the walk. You're cold. You're getting shivery. Why did you do that? Still, the teacher doesn't answer. They keep on further. Teacher's kind of, she's like this because she's cold from having gotten wet in the river. And they walk on a little further. And finally, the student just can't handle it anymore. Just stops the teacher, grabs the teacher by the shoulders and says, teacher, why did you pick that young man up who was so ungrateful, didn't even say thank you, didn't even look at you and say, oh, I'm so appreciative, it's so wonderful that you helped me, did nothing, just Finally, the teacher looks at the student and says, "I put that young man down a long time ago. Why are you still carrying him?" And we people, we're like that sometimes. We carry something, and we've been carrying it a really long time. And we could put it down, but for some reason we seem to like to keep carrying it. So I invite you to think about things that you worry about or things that bug you, or maybe an argument you had with a friend that sometimes you could just put it down, let it go, that you don't have to keep shivering or worrying about it. You can just say, "It's done." Sometimes things are just done, right? So let's join hands, and we'll carry that teacher with us. Let's join hands. Can I have your hand? No? I'm not going to get to hold a hand over there. Maybe Natty will hold a hand, though, huh? You want to hold Luke's hand? No? Okay, there you go. Spirit of life and of love, we give thanks for all the times that we can put down our burdens. We give thanks for friends and for family who help us carry the load. We give thanks for all the times when we have felt lighter, a little bit more free. We give thanks for the times when we have been able to skip along the path of life, for that spring in our step and for everything that makes our heart glad. We give thanks. Blessed be. And amen. Please join me now in that place of calm, that place at the very center of your being, the place in you that knows love and loss, the place in you that you sometimes forget to communicate with. Please join me now in a time of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life and of love, holy presence known to us by many names, in this moment as we look within, we are keenly aware of how much is contained in one life. That each day of our existence, we light candles of gratitude, candles that remember those who are now gone, who are still dear to us. Candles of hope for a world too often cold and heartless. And so in this moment, Great Spirit, may we take the time to draw upon the wellspring within us, the wellspring of resilience, the wellspring of possibility. To remember all that has been and to look forward to all that might yet be. In this moment of silence that now follows, let us bring fully into this time, into this place, all that is our lives. For breath, for life, for rain, for the cooing sounds of children. For all that reminds us that we are alive here and now. Let us give thanks.
In 1966, I got married in a UU church in Chicago. It was my first interaction with Unitarian Universalists. Ever since then, my UU path has had plenty of unexpected twists, but those twists have usually liberated me one way or another. At first, it was liberating to let go of precise and exacting doctrine. Now and then, when friends would ask me what UUs believe in, I often took the opportunity to celebrate liberation from some least favorite doctrine with a sadly typical, well, UUs don't believe in that. You can fill out that statement in many different ways. But really, I was missing the point. Anyone is free from belief in what they don't believe. Ultimately, my friend's questioning showed me that I needed to know what I do believe in. To figure that out, I first tried to use the exacting style of my old religious teaching. Now, I understand exacting style. For decades, I have used logic and mathematics at a seriously deep level to command unforgiving, precise machinery. It's kind of quirky, but I have fun doing that with gadgets. However, in human life, precision is a game no one wins. If I define precisely what I do or do not believe, I'm still held by a limiting doctrine. I still impose it on myself. Well, the 19th century is over. So I guess I'll abandon self-imposed limits. That's a source of real freedom. I have real faith in spirit, in love, in life. And I try to live my deliberately imprecise faith the best I can. Here's how. Our great universalist preacher Hosea Ballou taught, friends, if we have love, no disagreement can harm us. If we do not have love, no agreement will do us any good. The summary, love one another. I don't expect to reach that goal, but it orients my heart to a pursuit that cannot be done alone, which is why I'm here. To follow our paths and find a good life without artificial limits, we of this church community have pledged to forgive each other and begin again in love. That might be all we need to heal and liberate ourselves and our world.
Well, this morning, this Sunday, is the first Sunday of Advent. Our Christian brothers and sisters are entering the season now of waiting and anticipation, and what our next month's theme is, expectation. One of the scripture readings in the lectionary for this year for our Christian brothers and sisters is Psalm 121. And when it comes to an expression of comfort in letting go, at least if you are a believer in this particular vision of the holy, It's a beautiful expression. In fact, this Psalm 121, my colleagues who are hospital chaplains cite as one of the most often requested in their work at hospital bedsides. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. She will not let your foot be moved. She who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. She will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Lightening the load. Some of us take things too personally. I don't mean that in the sense that we are too easily offended, or that, like the stereotype about eldest children, we feel like it is our job to be in charge. No, I mean that many of us take on too much. We take it too personally. We see so much of our lives as our responsibility. Even those things that are beyond our control, things we can't change, those aspects of existence which are larger than us. Recently, my 4-year-old son, Demetrius, and I have discussed this at length. He gets upset that the wind is blowing or not blowing, and I say, and he now parrots back to me, "We can't control the weather." And perhaps even more importantly, when other kids at the playground are occupying the swing or the slide or the space that he wants, we can't control the people. Early lessons in fundamental truths. My colleague in D.C., Rob Hardies, likes to tell a story about a Sunday morning when he was coming out to do the recessional, saying his profound words, and then coming to the front row to be seated next to someone before they sang the closing hymn. And he sat down, and then everyone stood up to do the closing hymn, and they were singing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay my burdens down." And Rob happened to be seated next to a 5 or 6-year-old child, and everybody got more and more into the song. I feel like dancing, "Hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down." And for you youths, they were getting kind of into it. Finally, this 5 or 6-year-old child leaned over to my colleague Rob and said, "Rob, what's a burden?" Rob likes to say that that story happened at least a dozen years ago, and so, of course, now that 5 or 6-year-old is keenly aware of what a burden is. No one needs to explain what a burden is to that now 15, 16, 17-year-old young person. It occurred to me as I thought about that story again recently that we all know what burdens are, and we're very good at carrying them. What we're not so good at is putting them down. We're not so accomplished at discerning when it is time to put them down. And perhaps which ones which burdens we never should have picked up in the first place. When I was in my final year of college, what you all would call university, I was distraught at the behavior and choices a relative of mine had made. We'll say the relative was a cousin in a vague attempt to protect them. I was in conversation with some professors of mine who remain dear confidants and trusted guides of mine to this day. I was supposedly talking with them about coursework I was doing with them. And in the midst of my sadness and my expression of my dismay at what my cousin was doing, one of my professors, the wife in this husband and wife duo, looked me directly in the eye and said, both sternly and with some of the deepest compassion I have ever experienced, "Shauna, you need to stop parenting your cousin." Suddenly, I saw that my cousin's choices were not about me. They were not mine, and they were not up to me. It was a burden I need to lay down. Quite simply and profoundly, that moment when Carol looked me in the eye and said, "You have to stop parenting your cousin," was a revelation. Glory, glory, hallelujah. This letting go as liberation, as release, requires a great deal of humility, does it not? It's a recognition and an acknowledgement that we don't have as much power as we like, and some of us even prefer to believe that we do. We don't have the ultimate say over some things in our lives. We are accountable for some things and not others. It's like those great truths that psychologists are always reminding us about when we go to them with counsel for counsel about relationships. We can determine our own behavior and our own choices in a relationship, but we can't tell someone else how to feel or what to do. There are limits. There are limits to what we are capable of. While this can be hard to take, hard to really, truly acknowledge that I can't do it all, I don't have a say over everything, that we can't control the people, while we sometimes feel a sense of guilt or remorse that we didn't do more, didn't fix something, sometimes, friends, we have to simply say, "I have to put this down." There is an equal amount, and sometimes even more, liberation to be found here. Sometimes saying, "It really isn't all about me. It isn't up to me. It isn't all about what I want or what I do," can feel wonderful. The boundaries of our capacity to change things, that line between what I can and cannot do, between what I can and cannot have an impact on, is both maddening and somehow, at exactly the same moment, deeply reassuring. It's the core of the serenity prayer, is it not? "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Not my table, not up to me, not all about me. Courage to change the things I can. I have control over this. This I can do. This is my responsibility. I need to step up to the plate." And the wisdom to know the difference. I was thinking about that serenity prayer, not just because of the things I can change, the things I can't change, but of course that all-important wisdom to know the difference between the two. And then I thought, isn't that why it's called a serenity prayer? What puts the serenity in the serenity prayer? The serenity is the fact that there are things I cannot change and I can let them go. That actually what I can change is only a small piece of the puzzle of life with a capital L. So I'm neither off the hook from doing what I must do with my own life, but neither am I on the hook to do everything. There is serenity. There is peace in knowing that I can change, that what I can change is not everything. It's a meaningful peace. Not a trite one, and not one that you should underestimate, dear friends. That I, that you, that we, each of us, is tasked with making the most of our one singular life. No less, but certainly also no more. What is the most I can make of my life? With its limits and its losses and its loves and its joys, with its beauty and its connections and in the context of mortality, context of the fact that my life has an end, what is the most I can make of my life? Some weeks, some moments in life are like a wake-up call. Like Carol looking at me, telling me to stop trying to parent someone that I was not parent to. Some weeks call to us and say, your life has a certain reach, but there are limits to that reach. All I can contain and control and the myriad, infinitely numbered things that are beyond me, quite literally. And this week was one of those wake-up call weeks for me that kind of grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and said, remember, you have limits. We have in our home office a large photograph of everyone who attended our wedding nearly 12 years ago now. Literally a balcony view of a moment in time. The photographer climbed up into the balcony, looking down upon all of our guests, and snapped a photo. We had it blown up and framed, and it hangs now in our home office. This week, just this week alone, I looked at that photograph and realized that we had heard of yet a third now divorce of one of the couples who attended our wedding in that photo. I looked again at the photo and saw a family friend of ours who died about 2 years after that photo was taken. And then I learned this week of the death of the husband of a person dear to me that I shared a clergy retreat with about 8 years ago now. I found out that he died the day before his 60th birthday, that they had been married for 34 years, and her email to me sent me sobbing. A harsh reminder, the death of her dear and beloved Paul, that there is more out of control, more out of any one of our control than in it. So holding on to what we can control is all the more tender. And letting go where we must is achingly hard. And letting go where necessary to make room for all the things in our lives so very important. And so as I close my words to you this morning, I invite you to think deeply about what you might let go of that is not yours to carry. What burdens are you ready to let go and to lay down? Are you buckling under the weight of more than you should or could manage? Friends, be careful to ensure that you are carrying the right burdens. Make sure that what you are carrying feels indeed like if someone were to ask you, you could simply and honestly say, "This is my life's work." And may you always be able to put down what is not yours and perhaps never was. And now let us sing about laying those burdens down, rising in body and spirit, especially spirit, to sing hymn number 201, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. This is not a Mormon Tabernacle Choir, it comes up, okay? So the third verse is, third verse is, life is sweeter, so much sweeter since I laid my burden down. You gotta sing it like you mean it, right? So I want you to clap with me. Life is sweeter, so much sweeter. Friends, love is shining, was that last verse. Love is shining all around me since I laid my burdens down. I put down what was no longer mine to carry. The reach of my life is only but so far. As Demetrius and I like to say, we can't control the people. But we can control our own hearts. We can control the boundaries of our love. Love is shining all around me since I laid my burdens down. Friends, lay them down. Carry only what is yours and let your heart be as expansive as the day is long. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.